Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett, here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You are listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast. Today we have Anthony Waldichuk on with us. Interesting guy. He is a CFA charter holder. Started out actually as a trader for what is now the TD Ameritrade Institutional Trading Desk. He moved on to LPL Financial, where he traded equities, and then moved over to trade fixed income instruments. There's a company called Neoshow Capital LLC, where he moved to the buy side as a portfolio manager for them, with a focus on international and emerging market equities. And then in 2016, he retired to oversee his real estate portfolio and to do podcasts like mine. No, I just threw that last part in, but maybe I'll make that part of your bio if you enjoy this enough. So, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes. So, word on the street is you have an interest in some of these, the quote-unquote inefficient microcap space, and you dabble in some of these very obscure securities. And I thought, you know, we did the last episode I had a guy on, and we did Queen City, and maybe we should continue the trend. So wanted to bring you on.
Well, thank you very much. Basically I got my start reading Walker's Manual, as a lot of us have. You scratch your head when you look at a lot of these names and you go, why are these so much less expensive than exchange-traded stocks? And when you kind of dig into it, you find out that, well, where there's a liquidity, there's usually value.
Sometimes there's value.
Or value traps, as there might be. So
there's a lot of those, too. A lot of crap. Maybe we could rephrase it and say, where there's illiquidity, there's higher potential for value.
Excellent. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. So let's talk about, there's a company you're a shareholder in called Ojai Oil. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, just Ojai Oil. They're based out of Camarillo, which is right next to Ojai up the coast, next to Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. They were once upon a time, well, I was going to say backtrack here. The ticker symbols OJOC, like Oscar John Oscar Early, and it trades about once a month, maybe. Okay. Last on that was probably about $70 a share, that's good for roughly about $20 million market cap. Which, you know, you'd think you would have heard of it by now, but you know, not really. And it does have a little bit of a yield. It yields about 2%, roughly speaking. So it's based out of Camarillo up next to Santa Barbara. And they, as you might imagine, or used to be an oil company. They still are. They have about 7 rigs right now. They're producing something on the order of about 10,000 barrels a year, or probably something north of about $500,000 in revenue. But they're segueing into self-storage. So something, you know, you might be familiar with another one of your holdings there, Eric. So what they've done is they partner with, or they've actually a majority owner in Golden State Storage, which is popular here in Southern California and now Las Vegas. So what they've done is they've take their earnings net out of the oil production and reinvest into real estate, which I can identify with because real estate's mostly my what I do now. So so I've been probably a holder for the better part of 10 years here. They do maintain the wells, and they've sold off some of the interest in them to someone who's a little bit, they don't disclose who it is, but they've partnered with someone to handle the oil production more, as focus on real estate. That's controlled by the Off family, OFF, like the opposite of on, and which can be, it's the, it can be good, it can be bad. There's no, they really don't have much of a hurry to move this thing forward. They do, right now they have about 12 self-storage facilities in California. And then they own, right now they own three in Vegas. They manage another for someone else. And then right now they're doing a spec build of one, in, I believe, the Southwest Vegas area. So, as you know, if you follow real estate, self-storage can be a very lucrative area. Just look at public storage, for instance, and the multiple that that trades at. They are, yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons public storage would trade at the multiple trades that I would assume is because we're still in a relatively low interest rate environment. I mean, what happens if interest rates go up?
Exactly. So, you know, it's like how, just how well levered are these folks too? Also, you know, it did yield, I was going to say, of the public, you know, real estate investment trusts usually own these assets, and as a result, they yield a lot. So, and like you said, rates going up, you know, it's a battle for dollars. You know, people are chasing yield, and, you know, public storage, you know, will usually yield, you know, something on the order of 4%. I think it's been knocked down to 2%, but, you know, hey, that could be 4% again in a hurry if, you know, the price is back up on that. So, you know, and like I said, they, you know, they lever quite a bit. Whereas the off family here, this thing has been, by and large, very unlevered balance sheet. But they did take out a loan here probably about, boy, it was about probably about 2 years ago, I think, for about $12.5 million to buy. They used that money to go and buy that most recent 100-plus unit place in Vegas. Plus, they also bought that land in Southwest Vegas to spec. Well, they're kind of sitting back on that one. They're going to build it in two phases. They've broken ground on it, and they're going to, as the area around it develops with single-family homes, they're going to build out, wrap up the first end of it, and then what they'll do is, as they, you know, they see that they're hitting the home stretch, if you will, they're going to build out phase two of that storage facility. As you probably, and everyone knows, Vegas can be a volatile real estate environment. So it can be a little bit, you know, it's, you know what happened 2008, where, you know, $300,000 homes dropped down to $30,000. You probably just don't want to get caught in the middle of that. Of course, then again, people losing their houses, they need to keep their crap somewhere. So you never know. There might be a contrarian angle to this. So, you know, but they're very judicious with their money because, you know, their family name is on it. I think better than half the board members have the last name of Off. So
Have they been good stewards of capital? I mean, how's their capital allocation been the last decade since you've owned them, for instance?
They've been nothing. I'd say it's pretty good. You know, the thing is like they haven't run, you know, with the exception of this $12.5 million bond that they floated out there, or actually I think it's actually a bank loan, pardon me, that, and then they had to put up a couple of put up like three of their better places collateral for it. It's been good. You know, it's like they're in no particular hurry, though. I think it is, like I said, it can be, conservatism can be good, because, you know, it's like I said, it's majority owned by this family.
What's the distribution, or is it a corporation or is it a partnership?
It is a corporation.
Well, what's the dividend been? Has it grown since you owned it over the last decade?
Yeah, it has. It's doubled. It was probably about 60 cents a share. Okay. 10 years ago, it's about $1.35 now.
What do they pay out percentage wise of their earnings?
I want to say probably about half their earnings.
Okay.
So, you know, it's nothing, you know, there's a few other names I'll probably talk about in a bit that, you know, it's, they're just conduits for earnings. So, but with them, it's like, yeah, they hold back. You know, as far as like, you know, stewards of capital, it's been pretty good. It's, you know, the thing is, it's like over the last, within this, you know, negative interest rate environment that we had, you know, they did not offer up. I think that they make a better than average living up in that area, and they have a pretty good life, so they don't want to mess it up. So
yeah,
what they say goes, you know. And now, of course, I could, you know, try to take on a larger percentage of this, you know, company and march into their board meeting, which, you know,
Hey, you know, personally, you could always buy a sizable stake and gracefully walk into a shareholder meeting and offer your expertise.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely. You know, like, got a little too much on my plate right now, but that's certainly possible. It's not that far away. So,
and let me ask you, valuation wise, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. So, what does valuation look like at these levels?
Roughly, it probably trades about 10 PE, roughly speaking. It's, you know, it book is about 18 million, fairly conservatively speaking. So it's trading at about book. I'd actually say it, you know, that book is still, as with everything else, fairly conservative.
Also, with real estate, that's not always, it's usually going to be an understated number.
Yeah, no, the value of all these self-storage facilities have done nothing but go up over the years.
And when you say PE, is it, you mean like FFO?
Yeah, I'd say that's exactly. I mean, okay. That's how if you want to look at it from a, you know, property point of
just
view.
Just because self-storage, you know.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's like, you know, like for instance, you know, like I said, it is a quote-unquote oil company, but, you know, they probably, what, in 2017, that what a little north of $500,000 in sales of oil were versus about 8 million in revenue off the self storage. So, you know, it's like 16, the self storage is 16 times bigger, you know, on a sales basis. Oh,
interesting.
So, you know, it's, you know, they kind of get a little bit, you know, being a family-owned company, you know, sometimes families will go off on, you know, sideways expeditions. For instance, you know, I do like the idea that they're also talking about, you know, trying to power things with solar. Although this is not like we're not looking to, you know, start these big solar farms like other companies might. They're just looking at putting solar panels on their self-storage facilities. And I'm not sure if their, you know, their expertise is that, you know, personally.
Have you spoke to the management at all?
I've spoke to Ted, who's the, I want to say he's the treasurer CFO. He's the grandson of, the son or grandson, I'm not sure which one, of the chairman of the board. So, you know, and very, very collegial, you know, always very nice. I have requests for, you know, financials. They're more than happy to provide them. So they also, also always extend a personal invite to me to go to their annual meeting, which is a, I believe at the Ojai Country Club. So very nice lunch spread that they offer, apparently. Okay. But it, then again, it's like with these small companies, you know, you show up for these things and, you know, what is it, you know, outside shareholder party of one, which can be somewhat of an awkward situation. But, you know, a lot of the questions I need for them to answer, they're more than happy to answer if I give them a personal phone call, and their number's out there. They're not hiding from anyone. It's just they're just conservative and just not very, you know, I guess what would you say, not out there. They do buy back shares too. You know, it's probably a couple hundred a year.
I was going to say how.
Yeah, exactly. It usually directly.
What about tender offers? Have they done that in the past?
I have not seen one in the past, no. So
have you ever suggested it to them?
I probably should because, I mean, it's the – I mean, the stock's a bargain, but, you know, it's just hard to come by. I mean, if you go out there and, you know, look on, you know, OTC markets, I think we're looking at, what, $65 bid, $150 offered. So, you know, it's like I said, it trades about once a month. So, you know, and it is what it is. There's not a lot of complications here. Like I said, they did, I think a couple of years ago, they did drop close to $1 million drilling for a new well, and it came up dry, which was somewhat of a, I think that was the turning point when they said, we're getting out of the oil business. We can't just be throwing money away like this. Yeah. This is ridiculous, especially in California, because, I mean, I think, you know, active wells that we have here drop on a rate. I mean, we're dropping like a significant percentage each year in number of active wells in California. So if you look at symbol CRC, California Resources Corporation, it was a spinoff of Occidental, of all their California oil exposure. Really volatile, you know, a little bit, you know, if they could ever get into the Monterey Shale, that'd be great. But yeah, you know, as a whole, I think, the California government is trying to get rid of oil as soon as humanly possible here. Right. So, you know, whether you agree with it or not, yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of the business here. I've been a lifelong Californian and, dealing with this since day one. So it's, it can be a difficult situation unless, of course, you know, like, for instance, I mean, I have solar myself, you know, on my house, and I was more than happy to take that 30% tax credit from the federal government. Yeah. But, you know, and it's great because, you know, if you look at Pacific Gas and Electric, it, you know, they're, I think, our electricity supply in the grid might also be having problems too. So,
yeah, well, it seems like a pretty simple business.
Yeah.
You know, and the other companies that you mentioned earlier that you want to talk about, let's save those for other episodes, shall we?
Okay, that sounds good.
Cool.
And, that's about all I got on Ojai Oil. It's pretty straightforward. And like I said, they're amenable to speaking if anyone is looking to get into it.
All right, Anthony. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right on. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.